And so it's good to come back to God's Word as we have been kind of methodically going through, and we will continue in Romans. We'll take some time to take larger portions of it, but we revisit verses 16 and 17 in particular today for a very good reason, not only chronologically and in the schedule of things, but because it is Father's Day. And I'd like you, just for a moment, to reflect upon your dad, and in such a way as something that you know about him. And I know that it's a diverse thing. I know the waters that we're walking in. Because some of us had great dads. Dads that, you know, were always there and they threw the ball with us. And they never said no on, you know, spending time with us or teaching us how to fish or you know, measure twice, cut once. All kinds of variations of dads. And then some of us had some very distant dads. Dads who were always at work and never at home. And when they did come home, they sat in the green lazy boy and you didn't wake them up until supper time. And, you know, they worked Monday through Friday and the weekends were their own. And you know, there was a distance. Some of us have great dads that have lived to ripe old ages. And we can, as adults, go to them and say, "Dad, what do you think about this?" You know, and they have the experience not only of age and time, but of wisdom and trying things. And you know, some of us have had dads that have been taken to us way too early, away from us way too early, by accidents or death or war or many other things. Relationships get damaged, and we don't have perfect dads. Okay? Alex, Andrew, in case you didn't know, I'm not perfect. But that's okay, neither are you. And Phil, I'm not exactly sure I did it right. I was supposed to teach a lesson about giving the candy back to the boy or to his mother. I don't know. I'm not sure which one was right. I don't think I did it perfectly. We're just not. But I want you to think about something you know about your dad. Okay? My dad, later in life, began to reveal his childhood to us. It wasn't when we were children. It was as we got older that he told us more and more about his upbringing. Now, we knew all along that my dad was an orphan, that when he was 2 years old, my grandparents separated and they put the kids in orphanages. And my dad spent his entire life moving from orphanage to orphanage, foster home to foster home, until he got into the military. He met my mom when they were 8 years old, and they started dating when he was 14. And some of the time around the supper table, we'd often be able to get Dad to tell us stories about the orphanage and those kinds of things. And we'd laugh at some of them, and they were hard times for him. But I also, as I became a man and got older, I understand how his life affected who he was and is to this day. I know a lot about my dad, but I don't know everything. A few years back when the economy kind of tanked and whatever, I called him up and I said, "Dad, how did you make it through the 70s? So, because I remember the gas lines. I remember, you know, eating what we thought was a treat, but it was the only thing we could afford, the TV dinners. You know, as kids, we thought that was great. How did you make it?" And you know what my dad did? He laughed at me. He laughed. He said, "One day at a time, Junior. One day at a time." That's how they made it through the 70s. What do you know about your dad? How did you come to know it? Some of us maybe have World War II fathers or grandfathers, and they never talk about those things. It's very hard for them to talk about, if at all. But you see, we're here at Father's Day, and we call God our Father. And it's a wonderful thing to prioritize and kind of get back in line with an understanding that God does not hide himself from us. Almighty God shows himself to us. He lets us know who he is. And it's a wonderful thing. He isn't distant. He is perfect. He doesn't get it wrong. He knows who to give the candy back to. Your Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And so maybe your dad was a good dad, or maybe your dad wasn't such a good dad, but your Heavenly Father is perfect, and he shows himself to you. And right here in this scripture, I believe it's there. In the reason why Paul, but why God gave us the book of Romans in verses 16 and 17 to declare to us his righteousness. And because God does not hide himself, because God does show himself, there is really nothing for his children to be ashamed of concerning him. You and I, like Paul, have nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to our relationship with Almighty God. Now, if you think about Paul's life for a minute, and we'll get to this in a minute, but Paul, he gives us an account of his life, and Paul was not a perfect human being. He had some troubles. He had things for which normal human beings are ashamed and have reason to be ashamed of. And Paul doesn't hide that from us. I would be willing to bet if we would be able to show your life, whether you're 6 or 60, we would see things on that video reel that you might be ashamed of. Right? There are things that you and I are ashamed of. And for good reason. You know how we have a no-tolerance policy at school for bullies? There was one boy in my class that I bullied from like third grade till we were seniors. It was awful. You wouldn't believe I could be a bully. I'm not that big. I had big friends, though. And I am ashamed of the way I treated him. Very much so. I regret it deeply. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed." He has no regret. He is an individual who was well educated. He was a Roman citizen. He was wealthy. He was well respected. He says, "I have nothing to be ashamed of." Well, not exactly. Read very carefully. For he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Paul was in prison in Philippi. He was run out on a rail from Thessalonica. He was smuggled with his very life out of Berea. In Athens, they sneered at him. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. Na 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 na. You're a geek, dude. He was called a fool in Corinth, and in Galatia, they stoned him almost to death. Other human beings did all these things to him. Are you afraid? Are you ashamed of people you know that are in prison, that are chased or smuggled, or called fools? You see, Paul, humanly speaking, had quite a bit to be ashamed of, but that's not where he lived. He lived confidently in the gospel. And the reason why he was in prison, the reason why he was chased, the reason why he was called a fool was because of the gospel, and in that there was no shame. I had a friend in high school, dear friend of mine, and I became a believer, and I told him about it. And he said he told me that I should keep it quiet because if I tell people, I'll lose all of my friends. You know how many friends I have from high school? I have one. And he's a believer. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And so how this gets in, I mean, if you look back at Romans 1:1 and following, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called in his apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, for which there is no shame, no matter how we get treated. Paul is not ashamed. So for you and I, we need to deal with our issues. We need to get honest before God. And when we're afraid of rejection or fear or ashamed of being identified with fanatics or holy rollers or the goofy church, deal with your issues as it relates to the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Is it something that you keep private because you're afraid or ashamed that if you told people they were sinners and they needed Jesus, they would laugh at you, they would call you crazy, they think you were religious, Are you ashamed of that? Do you hide it? Deal with your issue as it relates to the gospel. Deal with your issue as it relates to your witness and how it is that you engage people with the gospel, how it is that you proclaim it in word or in deed. Deal with your issue. And now here I'm going to meddle a little bit as it relates to sharing time at the mic during church. I'm not saying that you don't come up because you're ashamed, but I know that God is working in your lives because you tell me. And I know that it's hard to come up here and let it go a little bit and the tears might flow because of something that God or the Holy Spirit is doing in you. But we need to get over that, beloved. We need to share with one another because this is the safest place you're going to find the body of Christ to share with. Deal with your issues. And because God does that, because he shows himself, there is nothing to be ashamed of. But since God shows us himself, we need to understand what it is that he discloses of himself. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. That's what he shows. If I were to ask you, what do you know about God? You could say, I know he's powerful. He's incredibly powerful. Now, there is the power that we have seen. We get to see it sometimes. For example, a number of months ago, one of you testified about being healed from cancer. I got to share that story because the person allowed me to do that. And we've seen that power, the power of God's healing. Okay, probably about 99% of us, and I'm included in that 99%, so this is me, that's not my experience with God. I've never been healed of anything. I never have. I don't know by experience that power of God. But I do know others that have been. I mean, you know, you can't deny the MRIs. The cancer was there. We pray. The cancer's gone. Spontaneous remission is what the medical community might call it if they don't want to credit God. Okay, I don't care what you call it. That's God's power because he's the great physician. But there is that power which we have seen. It's not my experience personally, but I don't deny it. But there's also the power that we read about that we haven't seen. None of us saw the walls of Jericho fall. None of us saw the Red Sea part. None of us saw the resurrection of Christ. But that would be a really good place to start. If you want to, I dare you, I challenge you. Historically, go and prove that Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. Spend as much money and as much time as you want trying to prove that Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead. That's power, and God has it. You and I understand powerful things. We really do. We understand, just from the news, the devastation and the power of fire. Just ask the residents of Arizona or of California. We know what fire can do. You and I know by experience what wind can do, especially when two fronts come together. They warn us on TV all the time and interrupt the watching of our television. Oh my goodness, Hutch gets on there and now I can't see my show because there's a tornado coming my way. We know what wind can do. We know people who have lost loved ones to tornadoes in this very town. We know what wind can do. We know what water can do. The incredible power of these little droplets of water when it comes together. Every spring, we understand the power of water. My brother-in-law is from California, and we get a little rumbling here. We have a little earthquake, but they understand the power of the earth, of when tectonic plates come together and decide to move. I mean, and it, the earth shakes. That's power. We understand the power, the limited power of government, and how it works and operates, at least for our country. You know, men and women seek power. They seek control. There are powerful things. You can almost understand how the ancients worshipped wind, water, fire, and earth because of the power of those things. You can understand why modern man worships government. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to destroy your homes, to have mudslides, to make sure that you have Medicaid and Medicare? No, beloved. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. None of those things, none of those other things can save you. You can't save yourself. You're not that strong. You're not that powerful. The gospel is the power of God, and he shows it to us for salvation. So we need to understand what he discloses. He does not disclose the gospel so that you and I can help ourselves be better people. Be better husbands, better fathers, better politicians, better physicians, better preachers, better students, better economists, better farmers, better... That's not why the gospel's here. Last Sunday, I was reading online after church, an online newspaper that I read. And here's a quote. Congressman Weiner departed this morning to seek professional treatment to focus on becoming a better husband and healthier person. Weiner spokesperson Risa Heller said in a statement, "In light of that, he will request a short leave of absence from the House of Representatives so that he can get evaluated and map out a course of treatment to make himself well." You buy that? Therapy, counselors, psychiatrists, medication can help. There's no denying that. Because God has gifted them and understands. But can Congressman Weiner really make himself well and whole and any less of a sinner? Neither can you and I. It is the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. And so you and I need to understand that the gospel isn't about making us better people. It's about saving our souls. We need to understand that the gospel shines the light upon our very need of salvation. The gospel was not given to us so I can have good kids, a better home, a better car, my finances in order, although God speaks about all those things. But that's not why he gave us the gospel. God gave us the gospel as a demonstration of his power for salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe it? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I went to a non-denominational church back east, and it eventually became a free church and that kind of stuff. And the pastor was really, really dedicated to presenting an invitation at the end of every single sermon. Raise your hand, close your eyes, bow your head type stuff. Godly man when it came to that kind of thing. Always with the gospel. Because I believe he knew and understood. And he was not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of God. Have you believed? Do you trust Jesus Christ and him alone? And then, as I mentioned earlier in the prayer requests, have you lost your way? You know, have other things become more important? Has the gospel become that kind of self-help thing so you can just be a better human being? God wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ. Maybe you need to turn or to step back on the path, so to speak, and renew your commitment to God and not be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And then maybe you got it all worked together. Maybe you're in a season of life where your love for the Lord is from the inside out, and you are being transformed from faith to faith, glory to glory, grace to grace. Wonderful. Keep growing. Don't stop now. Keep growing in the gospel, because it is the power of God. And so there's nothing to be ashamed of. We need to understand it. But we also, because God does show us who he is, we need to focus on what he shows. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith, just as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. God shows us his righteousness in the gospel. Not our righteousness. It is God's righteousness that's being revealed, not man's righteousness. We are not righteous left on our own. It is not a man-centered gospel. And so flip over to 2 Corinthians 5:21 for a further explanation, very quickly, of the righteousness of God, starting at verse 20. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. Look at this, beloved, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In Christ, we are the righteousness of God. We carry the gospel with us as ambassadors so that he, God, makes an appeal through us to those who are lost. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, why? I'm not going to get into it today, but we're going there. Back to Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Paul puts it out in front. He introduces himself. He tells the Romans who he is. He's never been with them. He's never seen them. Most likely they're individuals who heard Peter preach at Pentecost, became believers, went back and established a church in Rome. Paul wants to get there. He says, here I am. Here's who I am. And I am not ashamed of the gospel. I want to preach to you who are in Rome as well. And I'm not ashamed of it, because in it is the power of God unto salvation for them that believe. And in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. So what? Verse 18. God shows us something else as well. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. It is not all lollipops and gummy bears. God is love, God is love, God is love. Past 50 years, it's mostly all we've heard. Fire and brimstone preachers went out. Wasn't a popular message. Not going to wait to fill up your church. Tell them they're going to go to hell. But guess what? Paul's not ashamed. Because the wrath of God is coming. And it is being revealed against all ungodliness. So, beloved, you and I need to realize and know that the bus is coming. And it's going to hit people hard. It could be coming today. Some of your beloved neighbors and friends might go into eternity today, a Christless eternity. Or Christ might return. You know, the bus. If I'm going to be hit by a bus, I want to know. It's not loving of you to tell me, to not tell me I'm going to get hit by a bus. It is not loving for you and I to not tell our neighbor the bus is coming. Because it is. And so, maybe here's a practical application, an incredibly practical application as we close. Today's Father's Day. Some people have some wonderful treats in the back and the coffee's all brewed and we're going to stand here for a few minutes and fellowship with one another and visit and talk about work and that kind of stuff. I'd challenge you, might not be easy. Tell somebody you're having coffee with or sitting with or whatnot. Now watch, everybody's going to run now out. Tell somebody something about your dad. I told you about my dad being an orphan. Tell somebody something about your dad. And then tell that same person something about your father who is in heaven. Something that God has worked or you know about him. And maybe they know it too. Maybe they know it too. But it's good for us to do that. You see, because the temptation is to become ashamed. The temptation is to ignore the gospel. The temptation is, since we already know Christ, is to hide it and put it away. Because it's a personal thing. My grandmother, she used to say that to me all the time when I would preach the gospel to her. My religion is a personal thing, Junior. That's great, Grandma. That's great, Nana. The temptation is to ignore it, to excuse it, to cover it up. But there is joy and glory to know God as he is, shown himself to be. And as you and I live by faith, from faith to faith, We reveal that righteousness, and there is much joy and glory in knowing him as he is and being that ambassador that he makes the appeal through so that others might know him as well. Amen? Amen. Let us pray, and then we will sing Jesus Saves. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your word in which Paul was not ashamed. And Father, we're not Paul. And look back, and there are many times where we ignore or cover or give in to the temptation to just not proclaim. Help us, Lord. Help us by your Holy Spirit to continue to grow in grace and mercy and understanding. And Lord, not to be ashamed of the gospel, because the bus is coming. Your wrath is being revealed. We can't ignore it. And so, Father, may we honor you today. And even if we have coffee and we don't talk about our dads or you, our Father, don't want to let people off the hook, but help us, Lord, to love you more today than we did yesterday. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing together. Jesus Saves.
This song might be newer to some of you, so we're going to sing verse 1 through the chorus and then go back to verse 1 again.
Hope is here, shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. Jesus saves, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus saves, hope is here. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Hope is here, shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. Jesus saves, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus saves. Hope is here. What a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know Jesus saves. Free at last, every debt has been repaid. Broken hearts can be remade. Jesus saves. Sing above the storms of life, sing it through the darkest night. Jesus saves. Free at last, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join in heaven's song, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. You save, you heal, restore, reveal the Father's heart to us. You rose to praise from the grave, your spirit lives in us. Sing it out, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Sing it out, to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Raise a shout, to let all the world know that Jesus saves.
Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for the children's sermon and the music and the opportunity we've had to be around your word. And we thank you for this day, whatever it holds for us, that we have started here in your presence and are grateful for your love for us so that we can live in and understand the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of you, our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Lord, change us so that we might reflect you to our world today. Amen. All righty. My mic was still on.
Oh, I was like, what's that? What's making that sound?